Welcome to the Connected for Real podcast. I'm Revetzin Batren Grossman, a marriage coach for women in business. And my mission is to bring God's presence into your life, into your marriage, and into your business. Let's get started. We are live. Welcome to the Connected for Real podcast. I'm Revetzin Batren Grossman. I am a marriage coach for women in business. That is the intersection between marriage and business, and how instead of pulling them, you know, them pulling you apart, we're actually trying to get them to integrate, to support each other, and for you to have the most amazing life. And today with me is Vivian Glazer, and she is the founder of Swim for Sedna, which is a fundraiser and a swimathon across the Kinneret. And I'm super excited to be speaking with you. Vivian, introduce yourself and tell us how the whole thing started.
Thank you, Revetzin. It's a pleasure to be having this opportunity. And it's even more exciting because you are going to be joining us this year. So that makes it fun.
Yes, this is my first time.
So just a brief background. I've always been a swimmer. And when we came on Aliyah with my parents, I thought that when I heard about this swimathon, which is a national swimathon, not a fundraiser, that is always on the last Shabbat in October. Of course, I'll be there, but I didn't realize at the time it was on Shabbat. And it was a big disappointment that there was such a thing here in my country and I couldn't participate. So over the years, I would see the advert, follow, Mutzei Shabbat, get disappointed. And then I realized at one stage in my life, as you're just getting that little bit older, if you don't do it yourself, it doesn't happen. So I basically said to my husband, you know what, I'm going to celebrate my birthday another few months. What we're going to do is you're going to take a canoe and I'm going to do the same route, the long route of this national swimathon. And I will be able to say I swam it too. Completely non-committal, just between him and me. And then I mentioned it by chance to some friends in the pool. And the same reaction was, oh, I've always wanted to do this, but it was always on a Shabbat. So I said, well, there we go. Let's do this as a women's only non-Shabbat event. But I'll arrange something if and you all commit that we'll make it as a fundraiser. We have a son with special needs in a unique school. And I thought, here's the opportunity. Let's do something as my payback. And let's try and get them to fundraise. Let's try and fundraise for something which will be useful for the school. So basically, I went ahead using basic business tools, finding out the due diligence, what's needed, trying to get the right people to give me the okay. Obviously, water security was going to be one of our biggest challenges. And luckily, I was able to do the proper work, find the right people and get them aboard. And then within a couple of months, we had our first swim. 85 women joined us. And basically, I came out of the water with a big smile saying, yes, I've swum the Kinneret. Goodbye. And somebody basically said, okay, when is it next time? And I looked at them thinking, why? And then I realized that we had an opportunity here. And this is probably one of the most important things. When you get an opportunity which can do something else to empower others, you have to look at it and see why. And here I could see that there was a unknown, unique platform, a women's only swimathon, which was going to be very attractive. And using proper skills, which would be needed from obviously outsourced or a very strong team, we would do the right marketing. We could turn this into something that could be organized correctly, professionally, and run it as a nonprofit organization needs. But nonprofit does not mean that it's just volunteers messing around. In the world of fundraising, it's irrelevant if the money goes to a nonprofit organization or into a business. You have to run these things absolutely with the same attitude. And even more so, if you're asking people to use their tzedakah money and you're using that to fundraise. So there's even a bigger responsibility, because it's not that people have come to invest in something. They want to participate in something which they think is important and be recognized for. So that was the basis of the continuation. And every year we've taken a project in the Sadhana, which is in Gvaot, and we fundraised for it. So if you go, and hopefully you'll come and visit, come and see the Sadhana for what it's really able to do. Take the potential of people and bring out their potential. So every person who is in the Sadhana today has an absolutely personally tailored program, which is monitored, upgraded, and out there to make sure that there's nothing stays the same. You've really got to get people's potential within an inclusive community, which makes it worthwhile. So that's the base of what we do. And what I have enjoyed the most was having this opportunity to meet parents with children with special needs. Sometimes it can be friends, family. Lots of people don't even know how to address problems, situations. I think one of the strongest memories I have is people who've had problems with their marriages, with their children, how to deal with the combination of challenges there. And then don't forget, people still have to work. So there are business attitudes. Some women are more entrepreneurial. Others are just having a job. It really doesn't matter. But there's a combination of life skills that have to be addressed. And I sometimes feel very blessed when somebody shares one with me and we can go on to others and it can be helpful.
Right. I love this. So, I mean, what blows me away is that you wanted to start something just for yourself. You know, there's this like, oh, I wish I could do this thing. I've been watching other people do it. And there's, you know, a very technical reason why I can't do it, which is, you know, they're doing it on Shabbat. I'll do it. And then, you know, you start telling your friends, people start gathering around it. And instead of just going with it and leaving it the way it is, you know, copy paste. The other thing is just a swimathon. So we're just going to do a swimathon. The only thing that changes is that it's not on Shabbat and it's for women only. But then you added that upgraded whole section that really takes the whole thing to a completely new level, which is the fundraiser. And for me, that just feels so in alignment. You know, I always talk about making your business mean something so that you're actually working towards serving God and not just like, you know, busy work. Like, it's not really about running a business. It's about doing something much greater. And people who run their businesses, like they're actually living, you know, their legacy and they're actually doing the thing they love. It's that why, right? It's the thing that really pushes the limit. I think the second you attached the fundraiser aspect to the swimathon, that's what gave it the power to become what it really is today. It was like, what are we on, the 13th year? I heard about it for the first time from my doula, Chava Dumas, Zichrona Livracha. And I thought to myself, like, I just met this doula. She's telling me she has a big family. I'm seeing her in her house and she's, you know, making me a healthy snack. And like, I'm blown away by the fact that she's able to have all these things together. And then she told me that she swam across the Kinneret recently, you know? And I was like, what? Yeah, it's a fundraiser. It's great. You know? And I thought, oh my gosh, like this person is like some, I don't know, unicorn. Like really, she was an amazing woman. But I thought I would never be able to do that. You know, like I didn't even see myself being able to get to that level of like awesomeness. And many years later, I don't know, maybe it's been, my son is now 7 and a half. So I met her 8 years ago. She passed away 2 years ago. So, I mean, it never came up again until this past summer when a friend of mine in the pool said, you know, there was a lifeguard who said she did it. And then the friend said, she wants to do it. She says, come, let's do it together. I was like, no way. I'm not that type of person, right? Like that's not in my identity, a swimmer. And you can do it. You can do it. I know you're in good shape. You could do it. And it took me a long time to get through the committing part of it. I didn't know if to commit or not because I didn't want to commit to something I was going to do halfway. If I can't finish it, I'm not doing it. So it took, I sat on this decision for a long time. And when I decided, it changed my whole, the whole way of living. You know, everything I did was different because I was that person who's going to swim across the Kinneret. And anytime I told someone, they were like, but you're not a swimmer. You've never swam. What do you think you're doing? Well, you know, and then someone said, don't worry. If you stop halfway and you get tired, they'll just pick you up on the boat. And I was like, I am not doing it to stop in the middle. Right. Like there was something about me that completely changed and shifted about my identity. Right. About the way I run my own business, about the way I run my life. Like, oh, I'm that person. Now I'm like, you know, doing this thing. And my friends are appreciating it. You know, I had a friend who said, I signed up to give a donation for the rest of the year because I'm so inspired by you. And I was like, you know, like, wow, it just feels really good that I'm part of something bigger. And what you created is that something.
Well, thank you. But I'm just happy that I had the opportunity. I like to think out of the box. And here was something that was different. And till today, basically, nobody else has actually done a swimathon for women only anywhere in Israel. So there is an attraction which makes it fun. And I think the fact that people meet together, the comradeship, that these are all elements that elevate the enjoyment, as well as being able to take ownership of the fact that they are now ambassadors. Because as they have to reach out to fundraise, I mean, it's not a crazy amount, but the fact is they do have to make that commitment. We've got to explain to somebody what you're doing if you want them to give you a donation. And what we do want is people to come and visit, not just see a movie on the YouTube, but come, feel, understand, see what it is, feel part of it. And that's what's happened over the years.
So tell me more about what is it? Because it almost seems, you know, it's so new. The whole concept of having a whole community of people who are all included and everyone's needs are met. It's something that's becoming more mainstream, but also is so necessary. So what are we going to see when we get there?
Well, let's just divide your question into two. Okay. We have Sadnat Shiluv, which is in Gvaot, which is a community. There are 45 typical families living there. There's group homes. There's 8 group homes. There's a gun. And you've got the whole educational system now, basically from gun, middle school, high school, and professional training. And afterwards, you've got the group homes. So what is already here is unique. And I think this has been something that has been very, very helpful, is usually a parent goes through different stages in life. Number one is understanding that they've got a challenged child. Then where do you send them? Where is the best place to get them the most and to make their tools. Life and the tools to make their life as to get to the ultimate capability? And then where do you send them to? Now, all these roadmarks, milestones are very, very challenging. And if you're not in an area or in a place where these facilities are easily available, it puts huge, huge pressure on a family. If it's just the husband or the wife, or also with the children, how much do they have to be involved? And then the fact that after the age of special needs schools, have extended years. So they between 19 and 21, the idea is to try and give some vocational guidance. So at the age of 21, they leave the school system basically and then move into some kind of work situation. What we have in the Sadna is the training between that age group of 19 to 21 and making sure that they move on to something that is suitable for them within the facility. So our son is working in a kitchen at the moment. So the kitchen is a platform. Nachon, Correct. They have to produce 150 meals a day. However, when somebody comes in the morning and they're given instructions and they have to do teamwork and they have to understand how to share some of the instruments of the kitchen and they have to learn how to keep to timing, because if those meals aren't ready, you have a problem. So all these life skills which are put into this so-called platform, which is very productive, is something that can empower somebody. You're not just sitting them round the table 8 hours a day folding something when somebody's sitting around with a cell phone trying to get the time to pass. No, this is something productive. And there are many different branches of opportunities within the sadhana, and they're forever developing so that there would be something that people can actually work in and be fulfilled. And that way they also have a community around them, which is also important. You've just got to be part of something. Yesterday they had in the sadhana, they have their annual inclusive run where they get the whole community with all the residents of the apartments running. It's a 5K run, and I think that it's great. And afterwards followed by a mango, you know, a barbecue, something which everybody's absolutely included into, is good fun.
Yes. And, you know, in the video, you see that there is apartments, you know, of typical families across the hall from apartments of, you know, people with special needs. And she says, when I need milk, I go to them. When they need an egg, they come to me, right? Like, it feels so beautiful to be living on a day-to-day basis in a community like that, where everybody is a somebody, like everybody.
So awareness is number one and acceptance is number two. Right. And with those two important issues, I always have told people one of the biggest mistakes we can often do as parents is to decide for someone else what their capabilities are. And then you often have a parent who will say, oh, don't do that because A, B, and C. But if you were allowing the person to give themselves the opportunity to try and get to that goal, there's more likely they'll do it. And as parents today, we're very much influenced about what we read, what we hear, what is said. And even doctors, who many of them I think are amazing, but a doctor is a shaliach. He's done his learning. He has his experience, but it doesn't mean he knows all the answers. And he might recommend something, but it doesn't mean that you have to accept that recommendation as a given. And we had a personal example that we were trying to find out, quote, then what was the real problem that our son had when he was still young. And we went for a final, what would you call it, summary. And there was a board of three doctors sitting in front of us. One of them was actually looking through the file. You know that feeling that when you, before an exam, you think that if you turn over the pages quickly, all the knowledge is going to go into your head. So one of the doctors was sitting there, obviously trying to learn my file before he spoke to us. And he started the conversation with something like, well, you do understand that your son probably will never walk. And this was after we'd been waiting 5 hours in the waiting room and everything had been delayed. And by that time, Elchi was really, really it was not very happy camper. And at that stage, for whatever reason, something snapped in me. I kicked my husband, till today he won't forgive me. And we left that room basically saying, never again. From now on, we're going to take over the responsibility of our son. We could have made the decision if they said he wasn't going to walk, to just go and borrow from Yad Sarah a wheelchair. Nobody would ever have said anything to us because they thought we had made a decision or we had accepted or whatever. I wasn't going down there. And then for weeks and weeks, we would walk with Elchi, holding him on both sides. We're talking about a three-year-old, so you can imagine bending over. And we would scrape his feet on the floor of the sidewalk. Slowly, slowly, hours and hours, backwards and forwards, backwards and forwards. And then the first time he took his first step, you can imagine That was something exciting. I can't say that every parent would get that opportunity, but we did not accept what was said. And I said, that is not where it is. And when Elchi ran through the, agreeably it's 30 years later, but when he ran through the final gate of the Marathon Jerusalem this year, of the 10K with his arms up, maybe it was good I didn't listen to those doctors.
Right. And he probably feels so accomplished. And he, you know, it's amazing how these moments where you become intentional end up having such gigantic results.
Look, I can't promise every parent a result, but I can say that you can't give up. We now have a private personal trainer for Elchi, because that's what does it for him. He's got that extra energy. He's got the skills. He needs training. But the internal feeling of success is something we always need to make sure that children are able to achieve, because it's so easy to take any child, even a typical child, and take away their capability of thinking that they've got potential. Right. People don't know always how to encourage other people, to give them proper feedback, to give them a good word, a kind word. It's not about just trying to empower somebody. It's about giving them something that they need, which is very basic.
I love it. And, you know, I always take everything and bring it into my life and see how does it parallel with all the other things I'm going through. And, you know, we were talking about results, but really, there's, you know, there's the goal, let's say for me is swimming across the Kinneret right now, right? Or his goal was to walk, or whatever your goal is, right? Everybody has things that they think, oh, maybe that's impossible. Okay, fine, I'll go for it. And once you commit to going for it, if you don't believe you're going, then you have to believe, right? That's step one. Like, you won't commit if you don't actually believe. So you get yourself to a place where you believe and then you go. And the result isn't about crossing the finish line. It's not about, you know, starting to walk. It's not about running. It's about the process that you go through, the journey that you basically become that person, right? I told someone I'm doing this, and the first thing she said is, in my eyes, you've already won. Like, you've already crossed, because making a decision to do it is gigantic. You know, I didn't ever practice in a pool. I never did laps ever before committing. And right after Pesach, I went to the pool and I, you know what? I'm not expecting anything. I just want to see what my body can do in a pool, because I don't know. And I started doing the laps. And after three laps, I was like, that's it. I'm not doing it. I can't do it. You know, and your body is going to play this trick. You're like, I'm out of air. I'm exhausted. There's no way I'm doing 2 kilometers of this if I can't even do three laps, right? And then the girl next to me who was coming with me, she said, just take it easy, have fun. It's not about the result. It's really about enjoying the moment. And so I got back in the water and I started doing laps, and it started flowing and it started feeling good. And then I got to 40 and I was like, oh my gosh, like, it mind blowing that I was able to get something that I didn't think was possible, right? And then the next time I went, I was like, okay, last time I did 40. Now I know that's like my baseline. I better do more, right? So I did 43 because I was so proud of myself that like I did a whole kilometer out of 2. And of course, I'm like stopping every time and breathing and drinking. Like, I don't care. I just want to make sure I get through. But then I went to my fourth time. We're very early in the process, guys. I went in a pool up north. I was on a date with my husband and I decided I have to go practice, because if not, then I just really want to. And this was the only time. So I told my husband, half an hour, I'll be in and out. And I did half an hour. I did 32 laps, which means if I would have continued, I would have probably gotten to 60, which would have been amazing. But yeah, like, these little milestones, they feed you just as much as the actual big event. And I want to remind everyone of that, because when we're in business, You know, we have launches, we have goals, we have, you know, revenue things, whatever, like you have all these things that are going on that are all feel very far away and very, you know, untouchable. And what if, and, you know, it's really a lot of mindset work. But if you can get present and see, like, where am I right now and what's going on right here and how have I succeeded? What progress do I see? It feeds you. And it's really what keeps you going.
That's great. It's also understanding that you have to share. You have to have a team. You have to have professional people doing the real good things that you have to recognize what your strengths are. And also when people volunteer, the fact that they're not being paid physically, they have to make a commitment. The organization has to work correctly. So because somebody is committed, unless they're getting paid, they can't do it, then they shouldn't volunteer. When people tell me they volunteer, I said, it doesn't matter what it's for. I said, have you signed a contract? And people look at me as if, well, what are you talking about? I said, well, if you are a volunteer, which is being dependent on, you have to know that even if it means you're only coming between 5 and 6 on Thursdays, you have to be there. It's not like, oh, today I'm going shopping, tomorrow I'm going to a dentist. The people are relying on you. So I think the understanding that to be part of an organization, whether it's for profit as a business, non-profit, is irrelevant. It's about what you commit to. And if somebody commits to, my husband laughs at me, this is probably the most expensive volunteer work that I do, but that's irrelevant. I'm looking at the bigger picture. I'm happy to be able to help. But on the whole, that's where I think there's a big change today in understanding what philanthropic giving means. So the fact that we've got people like yourself suddenly understanding that there's an opportunity to do something fun. And as a result of that, you are now recognizing that the sadhana is something on the map. For me, that is the finishing line. And yeah. If because of that, because you're telling somebody as an ambassador, another parent somewhere along the line comes along and has a look and realizes there are things there that can empower her own child, then that to me is the ripple effect. That is the success of having a wave of a time with all these people.
Yeah, it's just incredible the amount of waves that this has created. People who have done it are impressed with the organization, with the level of professionalism, you know, and it's mind-blowing that something that you started 13 years ago just for yourself can become something that people look forward to becoming a part of, you know. And people tell me that once you do it once, you can't go back. You have to keep doing it. And my daughter already told me, next year I'm doing it with you. So there's, you know, it's already an expectation now. I was like, too much pressure. But
I'll share with you, the first year we did it, my mother came. And when my eldest granddaughter was 7, 5 years ago, she came for the first time and we were 4 generations.
Oh, I love that.
What was very nice after that was some of her friends who were a bit concerned, they told her the year afterwards that they would sponsor her on the condition she doesn't swim. So we let her go. So we let her off and told her to keep working on her strength. So that's we get beautiful. The support from her, but she's part of the team as it is, but just in a dry way.
Yeah. But you know what? What inspires me, because, you know, anytime I say, I don't know, am I going to be able to do it? It's too long. It's 2 kilometers. What do I know? People tell me, you know, the entire sadhana swims, like, the people with special needs and their families and everyone is all swimming. So like, why are you different? Like, just go with the flow, you know? And I told her, I said, I don't know, I'm going to get in the water. It's going to be too cold, too hot. There's, you know, fish. I don't know. I'm like, there's all these concerns that come up. And she said, listen, when you get in the water and there's 400 women around you, you really couldn't care less about anything. Your adrenaline is like up to the sky and you're ready to go. And you get to the other side faster than you think, because there's this real I guess I don't know how to describe it, but there's an energy, right? There's like, there is something there. So that's what I'm looking forward to. I'm going to drop my link right here to let everyone know that you can sponsor me if you go to go.connectedforreal.com/swim. And you can go and sponsor me. I'm doing it in the memory of my doula, Chava Dumas, and also I am fundraising for the Sadhana. So I'm very excited to be a part of it. And I hope that you can sponsor me because, you know, yay, I'm doing it for the first time. But really, I want to go now to a different angle of all of this. And that's the marriage angle because, you know, I'm a marriage coach. So that's like my main thing. And I want to hear how all this affects marriage.
Having a special child does have added challenges. Again, it also depends what number child it is. That's huge also within the environment of a family. First of all, also it depends how challenged the child is, how much it's going to really take. And thank God, Baruch Hashem, today there are services which do understand that parents need help. 35 years ago, 32 years ago, these things weren't available. I just had to use my intuition. But today there really is services out there. No, you don't have to agree with everything that's said to you, but there is where to go. There is where to get guidance. And I do strongly advise every family that is going to be starting a new journey like this, also get some help with marriage counseling. Because unfortunately, there's a huge element of guilt for whatever reason that seems to step in. My fault, I did whatever. And that can have a big, big strain on the marriage. And it's not about guilt. It's about making somebody else's life get to their potential and being part of it with as much ease as there is available. And if you don't have that opportunity to understand that this is not about you, the parent, and something you did right or wrong, this is about making sure that you get the job done. And yes, maybe it needs to have a business job description. What does it mean? But with that, you need to have tools. And I think that the rate of divorce today within families which now suddenly have challenges, we have, if you look at the whole issue of autism, anywhere else it would be called an epidemic. When you're going to say that one in 70 children are on the spectrum. I mean, those are huge numbers, but that can be unbelievable pressure on a family, depending obviously how well developed the child is. Physical problems, mental issues, whatever it is that your child is challenged with, it doesn't mean that you can't help that child because there are services available. And it doesn't mean it's your fault. The only thing is that you've got to be able to adjust to the pivot and make sure that the opportunities that are available to the maximum. If that does happen, I think life would be simpler. And you can take out the guilt, the blame, and everything else. And you can create understanding. In some of the communities that we live today, they're very, very happy people, very nice people who would be very happy to give help. So I always suggest to parents, do something very simple. Take out, the timetable you would get at school, 8 to 9, 9 to 10, etc. Take out a weekly timetable and put in it, where are your most challenged parts of the day? Is it at 12 o'clock going once every 2 weeks to physiotherapy with your child? Is it at 4 o'clock picking up the children from the ma'on? Just make a list and then fit it into the timetable. And then when somebody comes along and says, I really would like to help you, but then often they get an answer, well, I don't know what to tell you. Instead of that, you say, well, look, here's my timetable. Is there anything here that you would like to help me with? Maybe once a week you could help take my child out of GUN. Maybe when I go for my monthly checkup, you could make sure my children have lunch. There are all kinds of things that once they're shared, it's a win-win for everybody because people do like to help other people. But if they don't get a user's manual, they're not going to know what to do. And nobody wants to infringe in somebody else's privacy. So everybody holds back on things that they could be highly helpful for. Even if it's, you know, picking up somebody's child is a 2-minute job, bringing them back from GUN, bringing them back from school, popping them somewhere. But that is huge within the bigger picture. So that's something I can also recommend to friends, family, neighbors, just an awareness how you can also help people. There you go. That's another ripple effect.
I love that. You know, you made me remember, my sister is an audiologist and her specialty is the parenting aspect of how do you deal with all of the around what's happening around the child who is either deaf or hard of hearing. You know, there's the parents, are they taking care of themselves or are they only focused on the child and what's going on between them and what's going on with the siblings and how are we communicating, right? And how are we making sure that there's a language all of us understand? And, you know, she, from the interviews that she has on her podcast, sometimes it makes me realize that, you know, one of the most natural things that happens when there is a child with special needs is that the mother's focus will go whoosh straight onto the kid. Now, this happens even when the kid doesn't have special needs, right? Like naturally, as mothers, we put our focus on the kid and then the husband's like, hey, hello, I'm here too, you know? And we have to sort of find balance between being a mother, being a wife. How do I, you know, figure all this in? And when the interview goes towards like, okay, and then, you know, my son needed special thing and my husband couldn't leave his job, whatever, it would just made more sense to get divorced and take care, you know? And I was like, oh no, what are you doing? You know, it's like the last thing your kid needs is in his life is the mess beyond, you know, all of this divorce and breakage. So I really do agree with you. And I want to strengthen that message that you said, like, make sure you have the support for your marriage, because once your marriage is strong, you will handle anything, you know, anything that's thrown your way. You're going to be able to really be able to manage it and deal with it and, you know, even see it as a good thing eventually if you're working together, if you have someone to lean on.
But there's a family, there's a husband, there's children, there's work. There's so many different functions that have to go smoothly. Yes, date your husband, put it in the calendar like any other meeting, once a week, once every 2 weeks, and it doesn't get cancelled unless there is a life or death situation. Yes, and also the other children, they also need to be given their time. If you can, you just find a time for each one of them. I used to use the best time. I used to try and take each child to anything they needed to go to. Because if you sat them next to you on the car, that was their time. Doesn't matter what it was, but it was a way of being in a relaxed situation because we had an A to B situation that wasn't an open. But I'm taking you here. I have to get you to there. And it's just to relax the environment. Everybody needs attention. Sometimes negatively, you have children who become problematic because they're looking for negative attention. Or you have the other way around, that somebody comes absolutely angelic, perfect on everything they do, but it doesn't mean that that's what they really want. So you have to, there's an awareness that has to come into this whole family picture.
And that's why it's, you know, it's important that we're bringing this up. I think that that's why, you know, women like me and other people who are helping with marriage, it's what we're here to do. Like, this is my obsession, is to make sure you have an amazing marriage. So don't feel bad approaching me and being like, I'm really struggling, or something is wrong, or I'm going in the wrong direction, something isn't feeling in alignment. that's what I love to do, right? So for me, this is great. And you have someone to turn to. So definitely always look for those people who are there for you and lean on them, because you're not meant to do this alone. And you said put everybody in your calendar. I'm reminding you right now, put yourself in the calendar, please. And
oh,
not
I do.
The bottom.
I do. When I go swimming, when I go to the gym, sometimes I cycle with my husband. Don't worry, I'm in the calendar.
I'm sure, but I'm saying for everybody listening, it's really, really, really important to put yourself first, because everyone else is dependent on you. Just like you said, with a team member or with a volunteer, you know, they have a responsibility. So your responsibility is to show up for yourself, because everyone else depends on you. And that's a really important message that I think is going to be.
Well, I think that was one of the benefits again with the swimathon, because here again, suddenly people were taking on commitments. It's not a race. It's not like somebody's training for a gold medal. We've particularly made it not a race, but just a personal achievement that can be done in a fun environment. And I think it's very empowering if somebody's coming along and next to you is a girl with Down syndrome, and further along is a girl who's also got some kind of physical issues. And you can see we can all do something together. The beauty of water is water holds you. And I think if you look at that and you sort of think of water, how I feel about it, Hashem holds us, but we can't hold him. You can't hold water. It just comes through your hands. But when you're swimming, you're held. And
love that.
There you can go with it and really enjoy the flow.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Okay. How can people find you? How can people find out more?
Well, you just go online and just Google Swim for Sadhana or Tzlichat HaKineret or Sadhanat Shiluv. And you can find the swimathon. This year it's on the 1st and 2nd of June. What we do is we have on the Thursday, we have a big event on the Kineret with the ideas. We have a big issue on the Kineret. And then we have an evening where everybody has a chance to learn about the sadhana, meet the people, and enjoy the opportunity being part of something. And then
Thursday night is a big dinner.
Oh, yes. A big dinner. And it's an opportunity to hear about the sadhana, meet the other swimmers, just have a really nice evening. And then in the morning, we have the swim itself, followed by a breakfast, and then everybody can go home. By that, they should have had good vibes, a good swim, and be totally ready to share their experience on the Shabbat table.
Yes, I'm excited about it. I can't wait. I am beyond pumped. I want to just make sure everybody knows who is listening about the Marriage Breakthrough Retreat, right? We spoke about how I help women with their marriage and their business. And this is a free retreat that's happening virtually online. It's 1 hour a day for 7 days with a break in the middle for Friday and Saturday. So you're basically getting 4 days of my method, which is the Calm method, C-A-L-M, are the first 4 days. Okay. Then there's a break for you to really let it all sink in. Friday and Saturday, we don't have any sessions. And then Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, the week after, is intimacy, designing the atmosphere in your home and bringing it all together. And what this 7-day retreat does is it really creates a breakthrough in your marriage. Okay. I cannot explain this. It is something magical. There's over 800 women who have gone through it already. This is my 9th time doing it. So I'm super excited. It's live. It's not recordings. It's not some webinar, you know, weird technical thing. It's completely live. It's with me. It's right here. It's absolutely mind-blowing. I am putting the link right here for you all to join. It's completely free. It's connectedforreal.com/retreat. And I invite you to come and join. I invite you to invite your friends. This is my gift to the world. Everything else I do, I have my masterminds, I have my coaching. I love it. That's what makes my money. But the Marriage Breakthrough Retreat is the thing that I want to share with everyone and stand on every rooftop and scream it all. This is the exact method of how to go from frustrated and resentful and overwhelmed to loving your life and being able to do anything you set your mind to do. And I want you to join. Are you coming? Are you coming, Vivian?
Sounds great. I'm always open to learning new things. And I'm always happy to share. If anybody feels that they would like to share something with me, and maybe I can just give them, I'm very pragmatic, just basic tools of how to look at things positively and what to do with them, with the greatest of pleasure. Thank you very much, Rebbetzin Vatchen. It was a great opportunity, and I hope maybe some people would like to join us also for the swim. We've still got some places left, so registration is still open. And I'm just very thankful to all my family for the support they've always given me, and that we can all, they all come together and we all join in, because the big picture is to make sure that their brother and our son is in a good place and he's happy. And that was our bracha, and we've managed to achieve something to help there. So basically, my message to you all is every drop of tzedakah that goes in creates a wave that is able to encourage other people to be part of. The ripple effect is how we can all enjoy things that can be as a result of this opportunity. So what I'm going to say is swim for sadhana is something that we can all flow with. Come and see the place in Gvaot, and I look forward to taking you around.
I love it. I'm super excited about this interview. Thank you so much for joining me, and all of you listeners, I look forward to seeing you next time. Don't forget to stay connected for real.
Thank you.
And that's it. Thank you for listening to the very end. I would love if you can leave a review and subscribe to the podcast. Those are things that tell the algorithm this is a good podcast, and make sure to suggest it to others. Wouldn't it be amazing if more people became more connected for real? And now take a moment and think of someone who might benefit from this episode. Can you share it with them? I am Rebbetzin Vatchen Grossman from connectedforreal.com. Thank you so much for listening, and don't forget, you can be connected for real.